bridge in historic Greenville, South Carolina. People are here on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, walking across the Liberty Bridge. Now it's been repurposed. Greenville, South Carolina. Falls forgotten. In 1960, the four-lane Camperdown Bridge was erected over the Reedy River Falls, obscuring its view for the next 40 years. The neighborhoods surrounding the river declined, and many residents lost even the memory of the waterfall. Then in 1974, the Carolina Foothills Garden Club, under the leadership of Harriet Witch White, saw the potential for the landscape around the bridge and adopted the area as a major beautification project. Over the next several decades, the club slowly made small but important improvements to the nearly forgotten and disused area. Over time, the club and the city of Greenville, working with a team of local and international designers, including Andrea Main, Miguel Rosales, Schlecht, Bergermann, and partners Tom Keith and Robert Miller, developed a broad vision for a beautiful park in Greenville Falls, a vision that could only be fully realized with the removal of the highway bridge. That thing has to go. Dig it up, resurrect it, jump. Highway bridge. Terrible. All gone. No more bridge over the Reedy Falls. Just a waterfall with no known purpose. It's just there. Well, that's the story. Just a waterfall with a highway that's long gone, and now the public can enjoy the Reedy Falls. And we're enjoying it in Greenville, South Carolina. Here we go. Falls Park on the Reedy. Enjoy it when you're in South Carolina. The ladies and the flowers did a good job. Thank you, ladies. If you're under 18, can't come here after 10 o'clock. It's them the rules at the Falls Park on the Reedy.
Hills Garden Club recognized the potential for the hobo jungle along the river and planted a vision for the future. We are here today, and who would have imagined that September 10th, 2004 would become chapter one in a success story that continues every day. So to everybody here, happy birthday, Falls Park, and here's to many more.
Breaking news, and first at noon, a body has been found in Falls Park in downtown Greenville. 7 News' Kirsten Glavin is there live. Kirsten, what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, that body was found around 8:30 this morning in this creek behind me, right by the governor's school. Police were out here for a couple of hours working to get the body out of the water. And they say the man was found below a 10 to 12 foot ledge with his backpack face down. At this time, it is believed that the man was homeless and was drinking in Falls Park last night with his friend. Officials say they spoke with that friend, who said he went to a shelter for the night while the man found in the water indicated he planned to sleep in Falls Park. When that friend came back to check on him this morning, he says he found the man dead in the creek. Obviously, the discovery startling a lot of people this morning, including those who were coming to work in the area earlier today.
That cost is pricey. While older neighborhoods are getting revitalized, people who've called those neighborhoods home for generations are being pushed out. And helping those people and thousands of others will cost Greenville County about $8.5 million a year for the next 20 years to address the housing challenges.
Digging up Greenville's future. But every new house comes with a hidden cost.
You come by like a thief in the night.
Miss Alice Gary is a 72-year-old breast cancer patient. And until last year, this was her home for 25 years. A developer has spent the last year flipping hers and three of her neighbors' homes.
This is the first time I come back because I wanted to. Nothing I can do about it.
What happened on Leech Street is just a snapshot of what's happening in many Greenville neighborhoods.
Greenville has become a place to be. Realtors and homeowners are flipping their houses and allowing people who can pay more money to come in and pay more money.
But the issue runs deeper than displacement.
So the market includes people who are cashiers and dishwashers. But if your housing doesn't include them, then you've just moved all of those folks out of the city who now depend on an additional cost for their housing and a car now, or the bus service when it's on time and when it works.
St. Anthony of Padua Catholic Church purchased 12 homes from their collection basket to rehab and rent at affordable rates. The father, Patrick Tuttle, says now they're being outpaced by development.
We are trying very hard to continue, but it's slowed us down. We could do one a year or two a year. Now we'll be able to do one every 3 years.
And the competition for people wanting the homes is stiff. Addressing the issue isn't a simple fix, and it's one the community says has to be done the right way. Community leaders say groups from this neighborhood, West Greenville, and other areas can no longer afford the rising rent and property costs in what used to be their neighborhood. As a result, the culture is changing, and low and some middle-class families can't afford to live here.
I think it's a moral issue. As we all know, Greenville's experienced a great renaissance, but I think what we choose to ignore as a city is that renaissance has been built on the back of the disenfranchised.
City officials say they're partnering with nonprofits and other agencies to build additional low-income housing. Right now, new homes are being built in West Greenville, some of them in the $300,000 range.
We live in these neighborhoods when we weren't allowed to live anywhere else. And because we live in these neighborhoods, we had to come together as a community, and we had to struggle and persevere together. And that history, that legacy is not something that should be forgotten. And it's something that's worth fighting for and worth preserving.
In Greenville, Paige Hopkins, WIFF News 4.
We need policies like rent control to discourage speculation and stop skyrocketing rents.
Don't let corporate America come in and destroy our neighborhoods, because that's what's going to happen. This is the fiber of what our neighborhood's all about. You're seeing it. And it just upsets me when people, they say, okay, you know what? We're going to buy that house. We're going to make condominiums out of it. And instead of paying $1,000 a month, now they're going to have to pay either $3,000 a month or $2,500 a month, and they have nowhere to go.
of you have probably enjoyed a water fire event in Down City, Providence, at the confluence of the Wenasquatucket and Meshassic Rivers. Those rivers used to be in a different spot. They actually had to be moved to their current location as part of the big redevelopment of that part of Providence. Today's flashback is from 22 years ago today, August 23rd, 1989, the day those rivers were actually moved.
The day began with steel pilings holding back the Meshassic River, much the way they have since last November. But that would soon change. A crane stood ready to release the river, waiting only for the politicians to make their speeches. Then, with the ceremonies complete, it was time to let the river flow. The part of the project that was done today involved allowing the river to slowly back into its new channel. It was done this way to avoid the damage that would occur to the riverbed if the flow were to occur too suddenly.
Today's ceremony marks the culmination of a lot of planning and hard work, but this project is far from over. Later on this week, the upper part of the Meshassic River will be opened up, completing its flow through the new channel.
Nice clean water too, did you notice? The reporter in 1989, Jeff Latham, is now an attorney in Rhode Island.
The question about living in downtown Providence, I think it's worthwhile to go back a little and to look at what happened. We've all seen the great images of Providence when it was booming in the 20s and 30s, and we saw streetcars, and it was where all the shopping took place, and the department stores were here, and the streets were packed. And in over 40 or 50 years, that's all changed. The idea of residential use down here was a strategy to revitalize the downtown neighborhood, and was uncertain at that time whether it would work, but it has absolutely worked. We are now 99% leased, and you can see that there's commercial uses on the first floors, and it's actually a fairly vibrant and bustling little area. But what's happened in the 20 years that we've been doing this is that nationally there's an absolute trend and movement back into the urban cores, and it's happening here, it's happening in many places, and we just happen to have this fantastic historic district in our downtown that is so perfect for this type of residential environment. We believe because of this opportunity that it's about the jobs, it's about living, it's about culture and entertainment, and we believe that that these are all the components that are going to make this a very, very strong and vibrant downtown that will serve the entire state of Rhode Island.
We came down and we were seeing like some of what people would call, like, when the tourists come to Providence, the cities that the places in the city that the tourists see. Like, we went to the east side, upper east side, Thayer Street, South Main Street, Prospect Park, downtown Providence, the skating rink down here, City Hall. And these are some of the nicer places. These are the places where people who come to the city, who come off the buses down from URI, like, this is as much as they'll see. They never venture off down past City Hall, down past over here where I live, the south side.
If you see something wrong with the world around you, you know better, you need to do better. So that's how I like to live my life, that's how I think about it. So, you know, I see things like gentrification, I just try to say, well, just spreading the word, having more people become aware about it, you're helping. So you can help, even a little bit, you can help. So some people, they the situation. I'm like, well, it's gentrification, a big business, and that affects you. That affects you. Everything affects you.
That's becoming a myth. People don't walk down the street on crack anymore. No gunshots. I've been on this side of town for a year now. Not one gunshot.
That's because
you like being here. You like me? Well, I can understand why you like being here.
There's no gunshots.
Daddy, yeah, I thought the east side looked better, but that's one thing this side of town don't got. The east side has gunshots.
What way?
Anyway.
This way?
This way. Make sure the keep.
Larry has for the DS.
Education affects things like people in your community, people in your neighborhood, all that matters. You know, that old adage, it takes a village. It definitely takes a village. It does. That's something that like the neighborhood, some of the neighborhoods are promised are missing because they're not neighborhoods. It's just a hood because it's missing something. It's not neighborhood because you're not cordial, you're not friendly with the people you're around. Your neighbors only by choice that you live there. Got a community. You don't have that community infrastructure, you just faceless people that live in buildings across from each other. People have to realize we're connected. Everybody's connected. But you can't build a community if you're uprooting everyone. You can't. Nothing's gonna grow there. Roots all gone.